honestly, there we go. She just didn't seem happy. And I don't know why. It's my favorite restaurant, you know? So then I'm like, well, I've got other stuff planned. So then we're going to go see Braveheart at the movies. Come on now. I think you guys are there celebrating too. And you know, I mean, it's a love story with a few random acts of violence. And she just didn't seem to be happy. And I'm not even going to tell you about the other plans I had for later because it wouldn't be appropriate here. But... thank you. Some of you are like, oh, what? What? I know it's bad. Okay. And you know what? A lot of us approach our relationship with Jesus the same way. And really, if we're honest, we're kind of fixed on, you know, we like all these spiritual principles. We like what the Bible says. But we center our faith around the things that we want and the things that we desire. And so Paul, all through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul's challenging this church. Because the one thing that's definitely going to come in and tear up a church is selfishness. I can't look at my relationship with Jesus as it's focused on me, but I've got to look at my relationship with Jesus as it's focused on Him. And honestly, for that to happen, we have got to be broken. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. So that you may know Him better. Listen to what he prays. I pray that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, that's not a wisdom so that you know what to do with your wife on your anniversary. It's not the kind of wisdom he's talking about. He's talking about a wisdom so that you can know Jesus better. At the heart of our faith is Jesus Christ. And this is about a relationship with Him. And I apologize on behalf of all the preachers who ever told you that it's all about you, because it's not. It's all about Him. And Paul says to this church, he says, man, I pray that God would give you a wisdom and a revelation so that you would know Him better. What do you do when times get tough? Where do you turn? Who do you go to? It's where we should go, to Jesus. But I got to be honest, most of the time, I am turning to me and the wisdom that I have. Not the wisdom God has given me, but the wisdom I have. And you can guess, after my opening story, how much wisdom that is. It's not much, but I keep turning to me. And I keep saying, God, hang on a minute. God, just hang on, because I've got an idea for this situation. I know how it's going to work out. I mean, if I had married the person that I prayed to marry, I'd have married some girl when I was in about second grade. And we're swinging on the swings, and I'm thinking that I love her because there's this thing in my stomach telling me that. But about 5 minutes later, I threw up, and that feeling was gone. And you see, God is who we should turn to. And our focus should be on Him. Now, I want to lovingly challenge you quickly tonight. Because Paul says, here's what you've got to get about this life. This life is about knowing Jesus and getting to know Him better and better. And apparently, there's a wisdom and a revelation that God gives us in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say some things that you've heard 1,000 times, but I don't know that unless we hear them with a broken and contrite heart, that we can truly fathom what they mean or understand what they mean. We should think about this seriously and assiduously. And I don't even know what assiduously means. But I read it in a book, and I think it's very, very serious that as we look at our relationship with Jesus in the context of our life, we've got to come to terms with this, that it's all about Him. And that means life isn't always going to go the way that you want it to go. If it would go the way you wanted it to go, you wouldn't need this wisdom. You wouldn't have to have that. But you see, Paul knew that times are going to get tough. Things aren't going to go the way you wanted them to go. Life's going to take those turns. And somebody is going to have to be there to rescue me and you. And Paul says there is someone who will do that. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I pray that you would have a wisdom and a revelation to know him better. I want to ask you two questions. One, do you know him better than you did since you became a Christian? You know him better? And here's an important question. Do you want to know him better than you do now? You see, we will know him better just naturally through the trials and the trauma of life. You will come to know him better whether you want to or not. Because you'll realize after turning to yourself again, that once again, you have let yourself down. And you'll realize, hey, half the reason I'm in this mess is because I'm turning to myself. Listen, our prayer tonight together should be that we would know him better, because he has so much for every one of your lives and my life. He has so much if you would just trust him. If you would just have that desire in your heart to know him better. Because here's the thing, you're going to do it when you go through the trauma. But listen, if you're not living a life of getting to know him better, the trauma is going to be a whole lot tougher than it has to be. If you'll trust him now. If you'll lean on him now. Listen to what he says. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, he has written this to the church at Ephesus. He has written this to those believers who have gathered there. And he says, I want you to know something about God. That he has incredible things for your life. He has incredible things for your life, but you got to trust him. And let me tell you, trust him now. Like all you guys sitting over here, everybody look up here. Man, trust him now. Amen. Trust him now. Begin now to walk with him and trust him. And here's what you got to know. If you're going to walk with him and trust him, probably half the people here aren't going to want anything to do with you. And that's how it goes when you decide you're going to follow Jesus, especially when you're 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. But listen, let me plead with you. Trust him now. Follow him now. Be who he wants you to be now. Don't wait. Don't say I'll do that later, because you won't. You might do that when there's a car accident. You might do that when the doctor calls. You might do that when you get the bad news. But do it now. And when those moments come, and guys, listen to me, they're coming. And when those moments come, you will be prepared for those moments in your life. And it doesn't mean they won't be painful. And it doesn't mean they're not going to hurt. And it doesn't mean you're not even going to have doubts. But trust him who went to the cross and paid the price for your sin and my sin. Because listen, if he went to the cross for you and for me, you can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your life. He has incredible things for you. I'm going to have to kind of rush through this, but there's a couple of things I want to say. This one, he says, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. You see, it's not proper to say Jesus rose. That is not proper. You see, Jesus was dead. Does everybody understand that? Have you ever seen a dead person? They don't move. They don't rise. Okay? And Jesus didn't rise. Now, here's the thing. Y'all are looking at me real funny right now. Like, what are you talking about? Here's how you properly say it. God raised Jesus up. It's that power. It's that work that he says right here. He's giving this, he's comparing that power to the power of when Christ was risen. God did that work. God did that. God raised him up. God did that. And what he's telling, he's encouraging them. Listen, I want you to know him better. And I will equip you to know him better. I'll give you that power to know him better. And he's given this powerful example, even straight from the cross, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God, that could be a sermon. And God, because life gets hard. In God. And I face difficult situations. In God. And aren't you glad that at the end of all those horrible sentences about our lives, you can say, in God. And God never gave up. And God never turned his back. And God was always working. Did you know the Bible says that the Father's always at work? He's always at work. Some of you are here tonight and you greatly question whether or not that is a truth, that God is always at work. Because some of you feel like, I don't know that God's at work. I remember praying with a lady. She goes, I just don't know. God's not doing anything. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, my son, he's in jail. And they said they're not going to let him out. And I said, sounds like God's working. Because you know, we can't take God to Ryan's and to see Braveheart. And we can't, our relationship with God can't be based on how we want it to be, because God is at work. But let me tell you the good news about God being at work and doing this in God's way, because I can see about to that door and that's it. But God sees all the way through eternity, and he knows what you need, and he knows how to get a hold of your heart. He knows how to get a hold of that son or that daughter. God knows how to do that. So let God do that. And sometimes I have to give God the praise even when it's raining. Even when the storm's there, even when it doesn't look like it's going to let up, God is at work. And this is the encouraging thing about it. Right now, he is at work in your life, even if you don't feel like it's going the way you want it to go. God is at work. And you can be assured of that, and you can trust in that, that he is at work. It just may not be on your terms. And it may not be what you were hoping that God would do. And I said to that woman with all love and sincerity, I said, maybe God has him in the only place that he's going to listen. And I said, and that would be worth it. If he ends up losing 5 or 6 years, what's that compared to his life? And maybe that will be the place. Maybe that'll be the place that God will get a hold of his heart. Let me tell you something, church. God is working. God is on the move. Does everybody understand that? You're being really quiet tonight. You're just kind of listening. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's pretty good. We'll move on. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God is working. God is moving. And I love the song they sang me before I came up here, that we need to be a broken people. Listen, God wants to do a work in your life. Did everybody hear that? Say, yeah. God wants to do a work in your life. You're still quiet. Tell your neighbor, God wants to do a work in your life. God wants to move in your life. But listen, we've got to be a broken people. That's one of the things I love about the altar. And we make a big deal about the altar at Hillview, because I have people say, I don't have to go to the altar to pray. And guess what? They're right. You don't. But don't you find when you're broken, it leads you to do things that you don't normally do? It leads you to positions that you're not normally in when you're broken? I mean, when I'm broken and I'm sitting there, all my wife has to do is walk in. And if I'm broken, I'll just tell her, I'm sorry. I don't even know what for, but I'm broken. We've got to be a broken people. And part of being broken is realizing that if there's going to be a fix, only God can do that. Only God can do that. I mean, how many of you have learned by now you don't fix yourself? You can't. Raise your hand. Man, how many of you have tried? I've always got a plan. God's usually about plan D for me. Because first I'm going to try this, God, because this goes straight to where I want to go, right? That's God right there saying, listen. And plan B doesn't go quite where I want to go, but it's just got one turn in the road, so I can handle that. Plan C is climbing the wall. How many of you have climbed the wall and, man, I'm going to get to this place where I want to get to no matter what? You break your leg on the wall and you're like, why isn't God doing anything? And so I go to plan D. And God takes me where He wants me to be. And God will take you where He wants you to be. And tonight, we've got to come before Him broken. We've got to get off the wall. Some of you are like hanging on the wall because it was somehow you got up there and you don't know how in the world you're going to get down. But God is there. And He's working and He's moving in your life. You know, maybe this sermon title is, you know, it's not about you. It's not about what you want. And listen, that's tough when you're an American. Because we are about our rights and all those things and about our voice being heard. But I want you to know, the Bible says your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It's not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your life is God's. You know what I'm excited about, all you young people? You know what I'm excited about? The things that God's going to want to do in your life. Do you know what the church in America has that most of the churches in the world don't? And I believe it's one of the graces of God. You know what we have that most churches in the world don't have? Somebody just say it real loud. If you're wrong, you have to leave. Freedom. We have freedom. That's a big thing. But other churches are still meeting. You know what we have that most churches in the world don't have? There, you know, we talk about how bad the economy is. And I understand that it's bad. And they say gas is $4 some places, but, you know, they'll take it down to $3.50 and we'll all be like, man, you believe how cheap it's getting? But we have, God has blessed the church in America with the means to take the gospel to the ends of the world. You know what I'm excited about with you young people? Because some of you are going to go. Some of you are going to forget all the things that everybody else your age is chasing. Some of you are going to forget about all that and sacrifice all that and abandon all that and say, God, I'll go where you want me, and God's going to take you. And you'll take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because I want God to move. I want the gospel to be spread, and I want us to be faithful. And I think for all those things that happen, we are going to have to be broken. God is working in your life. I want you to hear that. God is working in your life. This is what God does. And none of us dreamed one day of just following God. We love Him, the Bible says, because He first loved us. We're going to have a time of altar. I'm going to ask you to come, and I'm going to ask you, we might go just a few minutes over, and I'm just going to ask you just to hang on and not to leave. But I want us to come as a broken people. I want us to pray for several things. I'm so proud of Shane Blankenship and so proud of what God is doing in his life. And I think it was a rare treat for us tonight to get to see all these young people. And in some way, it makes me just kind of tear up because I remember God doing so many incredible things in my life at that age. Now, I wasn't always doing incredible things, but God was always pursuing me. And I pray some of you would come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to abandon all those other things. I just want you. I want to follow you wherever you would lead me. And that needs to be the prayer of each of our hearts. And to be broken before God. So I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. I want to invite you to come broken. What a great picture we had of baptism. Some of you haven't been baptized. And let me just tell you, there's only one reason not to get baptized, and that is you're not a Christian. So if you're not a Christian, don't worry about baptism. But if you do call yourself a follower of Jesus and you haven't done that, then how are you going to follow Him to the ends of the world if you're not willing to follow Him into the waters? So tonight, it's all about Jesus. It's about His power. Paul only praised the Ephesians because they were faithful to God. You see, but it was God that did the work in their lives. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. We pastors here, we'd love to pray with you. But let's come broken tonight. And let's come praying. God, move. God, show me what you're doing. God, take me where you want me to be, not where I want to go. Take me where you want me to be. Let that be the prayer of our hearts. Lord, we love you. Move as only you can tonight. Lord, may we be faithful to your word and to who you are. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. You come.